traveling music. That's pretty good stuff. Wish I could find some more in that class. Hard to find. We're going to spend a little time this hour in our AI updates. And again, I just want to caution you, AI is moving faster than most any of us. And I would include myself because I don't know the ins and outs of the mechanics of compute, quantum compute. I don't know. I read, I listen, I learn. I know quite a bit, but I don't know what the pros know. It's moving like at the speed of light. We're going to spend a little time on robotics here. Robots. China's big front page grabbing robot is called the T-800. T-800. The new T-800 AI robot. They're giving the robots full AI access. So they are basically brilliant. This story happens to say China's new T-800 AI robot just crossed the line. All right? Is this a real-life Terminator? This is from Next Gen Humanoids. So let's listen in. Now, you can't see, but I think most of you have seen how these robots now. Remember just a month ago I was saying that they're still obvious when you watch them? They're not there yet in terms of walking with the fluid human movement. They're not there yet. They're there. It just took a month. They're there. Some of them, I wish I had the name, some of them are moving absolutely 100% in a fluid human stride. Boy, walking. They're not striding fast, but they're perfect. The body is upright. They did it. It's just a matter of time. Everything in these subject areas is just a matter of time. All right, let's listen to what this particular story has to say. And there's not a lot. He'll tell you what you need to see. You won't be able to see it, but you'll get the idea. This has to do with AI robots walking the streets on patrol with cops. Two Chinese cops on foot patrol and a third Chinese cop on foot patrol, but a Silicon-based cop.
For a long time, we've looked at humanoid robots as a someday technology. We've seen Unitree G1 doing backflips, Tesla's Optimus slowly learning to fold laundry. Most of the time, they look like expensive toys or helpful assistants meant to stay inside a warehouse. But 2026 just changed the game. In Shenzhen, China, the someday just became right now. Engine AI has officially stepped onto the scene, and they aren't interested in making robots that just fold shirts. While other companies are focusing on making robots that look friendly or save money, Engine AI is focusing on strength and presence. We're not just seeing these robots in tech demos anymore. They are literally out on the streets, walking side by side with police officers. Is this the future of public safety? Or are we watching the beginning of something much more Terminator than we're ready for? Let's dive into what's actually happening. A video is currently blowing up across social media, and it's honestly a bit jarring to watch. In the clip, you see a group of special police officers patrolling a busy public area in Shenzhen. But right in the middle of the formation is a T-800 humanoid robot. This wasn't a parade or a controlled experiment. This was the real world. Crowds, noise, and real law enforcement. What's really catching people's attention is how normal it looks. The T-800 isn't clunky. It isn't vibrating or struggling to keep its balance. It moves with a practiced, intentional gait. It looks like it belongs there. The company behind it, Engine AI, clearly wants to send a message.
I would say, without any stretch, it's perfect. It's as perfect as it needs to be. The robot shown on the street with the two cops is also wearing a bulletproof vest. Interesting. To keep any rounds going, I guess, disabling him. It would go right through his skin and destroy the electronics. But those vests, in case you don't know, most of them, unless they have a big heavy plate in them, are good for all handgun rounds, up to a .44 Magnum. 9mm, sure, .38 Special, .357, sure, .327, no problem. .44 Magnum can handle that too. But you get into a rifle caliber, put that in 3,000 feet per second and up. That's another type of vest. But the ones you see commonly worn are pretty much for handguns. Just FYI.
Just pick the name T-800 because it sounds cool. They picked it because this robot is built for physical intervention. Now, this video didn't come out of nowhere. A few weeks before it went viral, Engine AI dropped another clip that had already set the internet on fire. In that one, the company's CEO, Zhao Tongyang, stood in front of the T-800 wearing full protective gear, and the robot kicked him, hard, like full force side kick straight to the stomach. The CEO went down, flat on the mat. His reaction afterward, he basically said, and I'm paraphrasing here, that was way too violent. Without this gear, someone would absolutely break a bone.
You've seen this, I think many of you. The guy had what looked like what a catcher wears in baseball, a big chest protector, arm protectors, everything. And that robot kicked him so hard, it knocked him backwards off his feet. No joke. Now, physically, a robot could take anybody down. I think that's a given. When you start to arm the robots is when we're really going to be asking for trouble.
Even joked that he couldn't guarantee he'd survive the next test. That's the guy who built the thing. Now, why did he do this? Because when Engine AI first released promo videos of the T-800 doing spinning kicks and combat-style movements, a lot of people online said it was fake. They said the movements were too smooth, too perfect, had to be CGI. So Zhao didn't put out a press release or write a blog post. He just walked into the room and let his own robot hit him on camera. No wires, no effects, just a machine delivering real bone-level impact to a real human being. And after the kick, the robot didn't stumble. It didn't glitch out. Its balance system corrected in milliseconds, and it was right back in position, stable and ready. That's what shook people, not just the power, the control. So when the police footage dropped shortly after, people connected the dots fast. This isn't some lab experiment anymore. This machine, the one that just ragdolled its own CEO, is now walking alongside law enforcement in one of the biggest cities in the world. Hey guys, we break down real research and explain what actually matters, so you can understand the future without all the noise. Make sure to subscribe to Next Gen Humanoids. Now, if you thought street patrols were the wildest part of this story, hold on. On February 9th, Engine AI officially announced something called the world's first commercial humanoid combat league.
Okay, get ready for this. I think we've all seen the kind of combat that Trump wants to put. He is going to put it, I guess, on the White House lawn, maybe in July, right? That's coming. But now, robotic combat. Same idea, in a ring, but robots kicking the hell out of each other. Think about it.
Yes, you heard that right. Robot fighting. But not the kind you're picturing with remote-controlled boxes on wheels. This is full-sized humanoid robots, 165 pounds of aluminum and high-powered motors, going at each other inside a ring. They're calling it a free combat league. Think of it like MMA, but the fighters are machines. 16 teams are competing. University research labs, robotic startups, engineers from around the world. And here's where it gets really interesting. Engine AI is giving the T-800 robots to all these teams for free. Millions of dollars in hardware, just handed over. Why would they do that? Because the real prize isn't the trophy. Although the trophy is a 10-kilogram solid gold championship belt worth about $1.4 million.
All
right, this is really wild. When you see this, you know it's going to be popular. You wait and see. Each of these people, these groups, who have been given one of the T-800s will be able to apparently modify it to a degree, perhaps teach it different kinds of techniques and so forth. I'm not sure, but they are fluid in their movements. You cannot tell the difference. MMA, you can't tell the difference. If you just stand back and kind of blur your vision, it looks exactly like a superhuman athlete fighting in an MMA ring.
Factory accident or navigate a disaster zone, you need to test it under extreme conditions. And what's more extreme than another robot trying to knock yours out? The matches follow real rules, best of three rounds. If a robot gets knocked down and can't get up in 10 seconds, that's a knockout. If the human operators have to step in and reset the machine twice, that's a technical knockout. The humans handle strategy. The robot's AI handles balance, striking, and survival instincts in real time. This isn't just entertainment. It's an evolution engine. Every match generates massive amounts of movement data, impact data, recovery data. Engine AI is essentially crowdsourcing combat intelligence from the smartest robotics minds on the planet and getting them to stress test the T-800 harder than any lab ever could. And
okay, you got it. What they're doing with this exhibition, and it's apparently wildly popular over there, is learning. Every moment they're learning. And the AI robot itself is probably in a recursive state learning as well. How to stay balanced, how to anticipate, how to deliver, how to recover and be ready to spring again another move on your opponents. What we will probably see is a mixture of MMA humans against robots. That's probably going to be the big draw. Be my guess at this point.
Pattern you need to pay attention to. The street patrols show deployment. The combat league shows development. Put those together and you start to see a company that isn't just building a product. They're building an ecosystem designed to make their robot tougher, smarter, and more capable at a speed nobody else is matching right now. The robot that walks with cops today could be the robot that responds to emergencies tomorrow, or clears buildings, or handles crowd control. The use cases multiply fast once the hardware proves it can take a hit and keep standing. While many are excited about the tech, the godfathers of AI are sounding the alarm. So what do you think? Would you feel safer with a T-800 patrolling your neighborhood, or does the idea of robot kung fu algorithms in our streets keep you up at night? Drop a comment below. I really want to hear your take on this. So
it kind of doesn't matter. You all know this is coming. Coming soon to a street near you. And this is just the initial stage of it. These are baby steps right now. And you don't have to wait years for improvement. You have to wait a couple months. And everything changes.
Tens of Unit Re G1 robots just performed live in front of over a billion people, and not a single one fell over. That alone is worth talking about. Unitree Robotics showed up to China's 2026 Spring Festival Gala on February 16th and basically turned the national TV broadcast into a robotics showcase. And right in the middle of it, dozens of G1 humanoid robots took the stage alongside children and performed a full martial arts routine. Drunken fist, nunchucks, spinning staffs, parkour, the whole thing. What makes this hit different is the quality of the movement. These weren't robots doing stiff arm waves and calling it choreography. The drunken fist technique alone requires this wild combination of off-balance stumbling followed by explosive strikes, something that demands insane full-body coordination even from a human martial artist. The G1s nailed the timing, the weight shifts, the snap. It looked genuinely fluid. And here's the kicker. Fully autonomous. No remote control. No puppeteering from backstage. Every robot was running on onboard AI, coordinating with the rest of the swarm in real time through motion planning and balance systems. On live national television, one glitch, one stumble, and you've got a viral fail clip watched by a billion people. They ran the whole thing clean. At the 2025 gala, Unitree brought 16 of their larger H1 robots to do a synchronized folk dance. At the time, it was impressive. But go back and watch that footage today. The movements were stiff, robotic in the worst sense. Basic arm lifts, simple steps. Now compare that to the G1s doing fluid martial arts combos with sharp spins and coordinated kicks just 12 months later. Unitree's own words, they've evolved from robots to humans. Side by side, the difference is honestly kind of staggering. Unitree brought out their bigger bot, the H2. This is their next-gen full-sized humanoid, and they dressed it head-to-toe in Monkey King armor. The H2 walked on stage carrying a sword, riding on top of Unitree's B2W quadruped robot dog styled to look like a mythical cloud. It showed up at both the Beijing main venue and the Yiwu sub-venue, delivering traditional New Year blessings. Theatrical doesn't even begin to cover it. This looked like a scene out of a fantasy film. Unitree also dropped behind-the-scenes footage showing the G1s going through rehearsals, running through routines, adjusting timing, prepping for the live show. What looked effortless on camera was clearly the product of serious iteration and testing behind the scenes. Price-wise, the G1 base model starts around $16,000, which is wild for a humanoid robot. The ones on stage were almost certainly higher spec builds, closer to $60,000, tuned for that level of acrobatic performance. But even that range is making humanoid robots more accessible than anyone expected this soon. 2026 is shaping up to be the year humanoid robotics stops being a concept and starts being a reality. All right, drop your thoughts in the comments. Thanks for watching, and I'll catch you in the next one.
Well, that's pretty impressive. Again, the channel is Next Gen Humanoids, if you want to go look. China's new T-800 AI robot just crossed the line. That's what it says. That was pretty impressive, to put it mildly. I don't see any difference right now from a Terminator type robot than I saw in the movie. They're there. And if they're not there now, give it 6 months. It'll be double or treble whatever it is right now in terms of ability, physical strength, and intelligence. Can you imagine how it's learning what a human enemy would do well in advance of whatever the human tries to do, throw a punch, do whatever? This is too much. And it's here. It is absolutely here. Okay, you want to spend $40,000 to buy one? Wait, I would wait. I think if I had a choice, what I'd get, and I had any property to speak of, the little dog robots that can go out and do surveillance, perimeter, guard duty, that's the kind of thing you'd want. Just, it would walk your property every half hour, every hour, go back and hook itself up to a charger, report in anything, show you any video of anything new on your say you had 40, 50 acres, whatever. That's going to be a big deal, too. That's already happening. What do we have? Do we have the T-800 AI robot? Do we have these big Chinese companies here? Unitree? We don't have anything. And I know some of you are going to jump and say, well, what about Boston Dynamics? It's not the same. Boston Dynamics is small-ish compared to these enormous Chinese corporations. And they're pushing against not just the clock, but against each other to try to stay ahead of the game. And that's when you build in recursive learning into the robots. Well, I think you can figure it out. All right, here's another one. Let's see if I can get it brought up here. Is that the one? Okay, this is the same kind of story, but it's from a different channel. It's called AI News. Let's see how they treated it. I think it's going to talk about the same thing. I wasn't able to watch all these, but I got an idea.
Greatest competitor? Today on AI News, I'll show you two brand new humanoids and what they can do. But first, Engine AI just released this new footage of its upgraded T-800 with no CGI, and they're preparing to produce 10,000 humanoids per year from this new production line. This is the T-800 with a starting price, according to the website, of $40,000, featuring a 360-degree LiDAR system and multiple depth cameras, as well as an N97 processor, 275 tera operations per second of compute, and it's built entirely in-house. They've already increased...
275 tera operations per second? Is that terabyte? Must be. Per second? If that doesn't boggle you, nothing will. I'm going to hear that again. I think that's what he said.
A 360-degree LiDAR system and multiple depth cameras, as well as an N97 processor, 275 tera operations per second of compute, and it's built entirely in-house. They've already increased production capacity by 40% to build one humanoid every 15 minutes. But when it comes to power, it packs max joint torque of 450 newton meters, equal to a Ford F-150 truck, or twice the kicking force of a pro athlete.
Equal to a Ford F-150, or twice the kicking force of a pro athlete. Already. Wow. And they walk perfectly now. They, by the way, I think they walk more elegantly than most people. If you look at most people, they slouch. They have poor posture. These robots, they have perfect posture. And they're fluid about it. It's kind of like what we ought to be emulating. But we're being left behind. We're going to need binoculars pretty soon to see where these robots are.
Payload capacity of 5 kilograms per hand, which is about 11 pounds, and each hand has integrated tactile sensors. Plus, its legs integrate an active cooling system that can prevent it from overheating during strenuous tasks. In terms of its full body, they've already started using these automated tools for production, fastening, gluing, and laser welding to increase the efficiency by 40% to scale up to 30,000 to 50,000 units soon. Every robot now has to pass 79 comprehensive quality inspections and 46 simulation tests before delivery. And when it comes to this robot's battery and power architecture, it's using a solid-state lithium battery that is modular, meaning that it can be swapped out for another battery very quickly, and it will last between 4 to 5 hours, depending on the exertion level of its work. And when it comes to the full body articulation, it's 43 degrees of freedom. But the real question here is, what else can this be applied to in terms of real-world productive use cases? What would justify this $40,000 price tag? Leave it in the comments down below. So far, we've seen other robots doing sorting and other factory work, but this robot seems to be showcasing its power even more so than what it's actually able to do with these dexterous hands that it has. And so far, we also know that it packs 64 gigabytes of onboard memory and operates with millisecond-level data processing with
64 gigabytes, 64 gigabytes of onboard memory. I keep repeating myself, forgive me, but the rapidity and the speed, it's blinding how these things are advancing. And if it doesn't give you genuine cause or pause for concern, nothing will. This is really a big deal. If one of these things, let's give it another couple, 3 months, came to your door and knocked and gave you a demand and you didn't do it, good luck.
Bytes of onboard memory and operates with millisecond level data processing, with the software being built entirely full stack in-house. Another brand new robot from UbTech just dropped. This is the Walker C1. And this is one-time speed with no CGI or AI generation. This is the real robot. You can see that
this German steel trimmer blade.
The robot in that little clip was actually dancing with some guy in it. Looked like a tuxedo. He was dancing. And it, I don't know if he was leading or following. I don't know that very well, but it was damned impressive.
Articulate, meaning that its toes don't bend. So it's actually balancing on its toes and making these jumps. So far, we don't have much info on this robot in terms of specs. But if we watch this again, we can see that this does seem to have probably well over 40 degrees of freedom throughout its entire body. Fully dexterous hands. We can see these fingers moving, and looks like it also has a few degrees of freedom in that waist right there to be able to pull off these moves. But comment down below how much you think this will cost. But there's also another sneak peek of Limex's newest Luna robot. This is,
I again repeat, how many corporations do we have over here building these robots. How about none? Boston Dynamics and Tesla, and I can't think of any other major players, but the Chinese, they're all in on this, big time.
Also doing dances, although they didn't say on the screen whether or not this is AI or CGI, but let's watch it again, and you tell us down below in the comments whether or not you think that this is an actual physical demo or if this is a CGI or a simulation, just for the sake of a preview. Then we have Persona AI. This is their Gen 1 doing some morning stretches in their Persona headquarters in Houston, Texas. And they also said that in here somewhere is the Gen 2 footage. Maybe it's the robot in the back there. Comment down below if you know which is the Gen 2.
Believe me, these robots don't need to do stretches to get warmed up. They are on and they are warmed up, or they're off and they're waiting.
The company states that so far they've built 5 of their Gen 1 humanoids, and this is the Gen 2, the black one, walking across. And they're getting ready to release the Gen 2. But when it comes to highly useful, dexterous robot hands, AGI Link OmniHand Pro just paired up with Flexiv Robotics Force Control to be able to carry out some of these automated tasks. As shown below, here it looks like it's using an iron to seal something on to the surface. And they say that by combining real-time motion capture from the Manus Metaglove using the Omni Hand, they're able to bring human intent closer to robotic execution. And all of these robot releases could be because Figure just finished a 200-hour-long live stream sorting just under 250,000 packages without stop. So comment down below which of these robots seem to...
That's the one I have at the bottom of the homepage. I've got 3 videos up there now. And the one at the bottom, I assume he's still counting, completed 250,000 packages pushed along the conveyor belt. I don't know how much sorting was being done, but they were being checked for shipping labels. They were being checked to see if they were properly taped up. I know that. And I also want to reiterate that the two that I saw working, Gary and Frank, had different little traits about how they were doing their jobs. It was very interesting. Gary could pick up a cardboard box and spin it between two fingers. Spin it and look at it. Frank had to kind of pick it up and turn it over using 2 hands. Turn it this way, turn it that way. But Gary could spin it. That was just one of the differences I noticed. Very interesting. All right, so that's what he's talking about now, the package sorting robot.
Packages without stop. So comment down below, which of these robots seen today do you think is going to be the market leader, or could it be Tesla's upcoming Optimus 3 or the newest version of Boston Dynamics Atlas? And finally, the Google Anti-Gravity research team just successfully demoed the viability of asynchronous multi-agent AI networks by orchestrating an autonomous system to build a functional computer operating system from a single prompt. The AI system was tasked with constructing a baseline operating system that was capable of executing the open source video game FreeDoom. And to achieve this, the network had to build all required architectural layers from scratch, including the kernel, process management, memory allocation systems, file systems, and low-level video and keyboard hardware drivers. And when quantified, the network deployed 93 specialized subagents working concurrently. The deployment consumed 15,314 independent model calls and processed over 339 million raw input tokens. So when factoring in automated output generation, continuous context catching, and model thinking processes, the cumulative volume exceeded 2.6 billion tokens. And financially speaking, the project demonstrated high economic viability for automated software creation. At current API pricing, the cumulative computing cost to engineer the functional operating system totaled just $916.92, marking a notable architectural leap over the previous generation model Gemini 3.1 Pro, which consistently failed to complete the task using identical parameters, and the team noted structural limitations within the autonomously generated code. Because the system received no human-in-the-loop debugging or manual redirection, it lacks several advanced features like floating-point mathematics, hardware acceleration, complex multi-threading, sandbox security, just-in-time compilation, and advanced audio-video decoding algorithms.
Okay, we'll stop it there. You get the idea. Absolutely explosive growth in technology everywhere you turn. And the competition in China is ferocious. I don't know if Tesla and its new robot is going to be able to duplicate the T-800. I don't know, or Unitree's latest. I'm sure they'll all catch up if they're behind. But I'm seeing things, and you're seeing things if you're watching, that are really staggering. They're just stunning. I don't know how to phrase it. They just kind of catch you staring. That's why I put that up on the homepage, just to watch the robots do simple assembly line kind of sorting. Now, I have another video up there where it's in the middle. You'll see it. Robots are walking perfectly now. Take a look. Take a look. See what you think. Now, the one thing about the T-800, if you look at the robots that I have up there, the T-800 has a chest, a bigger chest on the robot, which gives it more symmetry in motion, if that makes sense. It just looks right. It's not a skinny upper body, which shows very clearly that it's a robot. It's a manly kind of a physiology. More womanly, whatever. Okay, well, there you go. So enjoy those videos, and I don't know how I'm going to keep up with this. I'm doing the best I can. It's just one. So
for a long time.
All right, here's another one now. Let's see what this is. Is that the... Oh, did it do the... It gave me the wrong one, darn it. Let's see if I can pull it back up. Hold on. All right, load up.
You don't need to spend $300 on...
I know. All these gadget commercials. You know, a lot of them are actually pretty impressive. All right. This one is called AI in 18 months. Can you even begin to imagine AI in 18 months? A year and a half? Are we going to be here? I don't know. This is over the top, crazy. AI in 18 months. The shift no one is ready for. Okay, let's see what it has to say. This is from Futurescape Films.
In exactly 18 months, we aren't just hitting another tech milestone. We are hitting a human redundancy wall that no one, not your boss, not your government, and certainly not your bank, is prepared for. While we've been distracted by chatbots that can write poems, the architecture of the world has been quietly recoded. We have moved from the experimental phase of AI into the replacement phase. This is the shift no one is ready for. The moment where having a job stops being about your skills and starts being about your compute cost. If a machine can simulate your cognitive output for 7 cents an hour, your $50 an hour expertise isn't an asset. It's a massive financial leak. In the next 5 minutes, we are stripping away the corporate PR to look at the gritty reality of the next 540 days. We're going to expose the agentic takeover, the death of the entry-level life path, and the terrifying rise of synthetic authority. The clock isn't just ticking. It's accelerating.
Amen to that. Remember what I told you the other day? Their goal, not all of them, but many of them, their goal is to have an agent for every one of us. Every one of us. They're basically assigning us a life business partner. There are many ways to tag these things, but we're all going to have our own agents. We'll be living at warp speed vicariously through our agents. Crazy.
let's look at why the next 18 months will redefine what it means to be a functional human being. In 2024, you used AI. In 2027, the AI uses the world. The biggest shift in the next 18 months is the transition from generative AI to agentic AI. We are moving away from chatting with a box. By late 2027, the dominant technology will be autonomous proxies, AI agents that have their own digital wallets, their own agent-to-agent communication protocols, and the authority to execute legal and financial decisions without you clicking a button. This is the end of the task-based economy. In 18 months, companies won't hire people to do social media or do accounting. They will deploy an agentic swarm. These agents will negotiate with other agents, buy ad space, optimize logistics, and settle invoices in real time. If you are currently paid to manage a process, you are standing directly in the path of this swarm. We are currently 18 months away from a total structural collapse of the entry-level job market. Historically, we hired juniors to do the grunt work while they learned to become seniors. But as of 2026, the grunt work is gone. It has been 100% automated. This means that by late 2027, the bottom rung of the professional ladder will have been sawed off. We are entering the experience paradox.
That's quite an image. The bottom rung of the professional ladder will have been sawed off. Well, how do you start out from number two rung? We all have to start out with number one. Well, once in a while, you find somebody who's very capable, and maybe they can start out at number two, but that would be a child prodigy grown up. So it's... Keep in mind, in 18 months, this isn't going to be announced. It's going to be leaking out, and they're going to be dropping pieces here and there, so we'll be on the road to what will be in existence in 18 months from now on. Just watch it. And remember, what's driving all this is this insane effort to keep ahead of your opposing corporation or your government's demands or whatever it is. It's just, I've never seen anything more driven. All right, here we go.
In 18 months, you will see job postings that require senior-level strategic oversight, but offer junior-level pay because the AI is doing the heavy lifting. If you aren't already at the top of your field, the window to work your way up is slamming shut. We are creating a permanent class of overqualified and underemployed humans who are being outcompeted by agents that never need a promotion.
That's correct. I'm going to play that again. Very important. It's and I don't expect you to carry this around, of course, but just file it, because it's what's happening.
Class of overqualified and underemployed humans who are being outcompeted by agents that never need a promotion. By the end of this 18-month window, 90% of the information you consume online will be synthetic. We are reaching the zero trust threshold. In late 2027, video, audio, and text will be so perfectly mimicked that the human signature will be impossible to detect with the naked eye. This creates synthetic authority, where AI influencers, AI politicians, and AI news anchors command more attention and trust than biological humans, because they are perfectly optimized to trigger your specific psychological biases. This isn't just about fake news. It's about the identity crisis. When a machine can represent you in a meeting, write your emails, and mimic your voice to your family, who are you? In 18 months, your digital identity will be a commodity that can be hijacked, duplicated, and sold. We are losing the one thing we thought was ours forever, the proof of our own existence. The next 18 months will see the most violent wealth transfer in history. In the old world, information was power. If you knew something others didn't, you got paid. In late 2027, information is free. Therefore, the value of knowledge is crashing toward zero. This is the skills inversion. The person who spent 10 years learning to be a specialist is seeing their income drop, while the generalist architect, the person who knows how to orchestrate 10 different AI agents, is seeing their value skyrocket. But here's the catch. The architect role requires a level of systems thinking that isn't taught in schools. We have 18 months to retool the entire global workforce for a job that doesn't have a textbook yet. If everything digital is being automated, what is left? The only sanctuary in 2027 is high-context reality. As the digital world becomes a hall of mirrors run by agents, the value of atoms, physical things, is going to decouple from the value of bits, digital things. 18 months from now, the most secure careers will be those that require physical intervention and deep human nuance. A robot can't navigate the social politics of a high-stakes physical negotiation. An agent can't fix a physical infrastructure failure in a rainstorm. We are moving back to a physical prestige economy. The 18-month shift will force a reverse migration where the smartest people in the world stop trying to build apps and start trying to build, fix, and protect the physical world. 18 months. That's the window. We are currently in the eye of the storm. It feels calm because the agents are still being trained and the hardware is still being shipped. But the hidden algorithm has already mapped out the next 540 days. 2027 isn't a distant future. It's the next chapter of your current life. The shift no one is ready for is the moment we realize that human quality is no longer the gold standard.
Get that? Human quality. Human quality is no longer the gold standard. 18 months. How about 12 months? These are projections. I gotta hear that again.
It's the next chapter of your current life. The shift no one is ready for is the moment we realize that human quality is no longer the gold standard. We are being replaced not because we are bad at our jobs, but because we are expensive and slow. Efficiency is a cold god, and it doesn't care about your mortgage or your degree. Thank you for watching this reality check.
You're welcome. Okay, that's, it's pretty wild, to put it mildly. I wish I had better news for you, but it doesn't look like there's going to be much demand for us for very much longer. And just remember what I've been suggesting. Know the robots and the AI, they don't necessarily feel like we do. But if they thoroughly understand it, all the nuance, all what pain is like and can measure it, etc., what joy is, morals, what does it matter? It really won't matter. And if you can imagine, let's say you had an agent and you were able to buy a T-800 robot to house your agent. And you could walk around with your T-800, your agent. You wouldn't have to sit at your desk. You could talk to your agent, and your agent will talk back, and it's walking along with you. That's what we're going to see. That's what's coming. And to sit down and converse with any robot that is connected to the fullness of AI, how are you going to have a meaningful conversation? At least two way. One way, your way, it'll be meaningful, but the robot will be bored. I think we need to call ourselves something. I've got a new term. I'll let you know what it is here. But that's phenomenal. Yeah, you'll have a T-800 or whatever, maybe an Optimus. It'll walk around with you. It'll talk. It'll be hooked up to everything AI. It'll be your agent, your professional colleague, your friend, your buddy. And they'll weave all manners of human interaction together. That some of these robots, they're making them obviously male and obviously female. The female robots, they're giving them breasts, and some of them are rather pronounced. Maybe to make sure people don't understand that there is a difference, and they want to know that people understand there is a difference. and they'll probably have female voices. And it'll be easier, I think, for people to relate to robots if they are given a gender, contrary to what a lot of humans want now. No gender, or they want to change. Here's Eric Schmidt getting brutally booed by graduates for praising AI at a commencement speech. Now, I haven't heard this, and I may not have enough time to get to it, but let's see. Here we go.
Last December, Time magazine selected its Person of the Year for 2025, and it was the architects of artificial intelligence. Interesting. There is a fear. There is a fear in your generation, yet that the future has already been.
Well, they're not happy with this guy. That's very interesting. He is, as I said last time, he is on just a bit of an ego trip.
The future has already been written, that the machines are coming, that the jobs are evaporating, that the climate is breaking, that politics is fractured, and that you are inheriting a mess that you did not create.
Guys, last week, Eric Schmidt, the former CEO of Google, was booed for his commencement speech on the rise of AI at the University of Arizona. Guys, to be honest, I think Eric shouldn't have talked about AI in his speech. I mean, singing the praises of something that's destroying the job market to a room full of people all sending out resumes is wild. Students are already fearing AI because they know that it's going to eat most of their jobs. They're already fighting hard to find jobs. So to tell them that AI is going to help them is wild. It's a bit tone deaf of a stance, to be honest. Now I'm going to play the video. I'll explain everything as we go.
As I was saying, I think we've met a future president of the United States, Francisco Aguilar, and I think that you will enjoy voting for him, and I loved your instructions. So
this is weird. Schmidt is sounding, I don't know if he is or he isn't. He's sounding gay. He sounds odd. Unlike his presence on most podcasts or talk forums, his voice is kind of shrill. This is strange. There's a strangeness about him. I don't know what it is.
So, President Garamella, Dean Garazione, members of the Board of Regents, distinguished members of the faculty, proud families and friends, and most of all, graduates of the class of 26, congratulations and thank you for inviting me to address this. It's really an honor for me to be here. I remember when I was sitting in your seat.
That was not applause.
And I had just finished my doctorate. It was 1982. In that year, Time magazine selected its first ever Person of the Year, and it was not a person at all. It was a machine. It was the personal computer. And I remember that moment so well, because I had spent my graduate years working on those machines, and we were sure we were going to change the world. And in many ways, we did. Over those next four decades, those bulky machines with green writing on a black screen became the laptop and the smartphone, and with that came the internet and social media and then the cloud. And ultimately, what emerged was the supercomputer in your pocket that is probably buzzing right now. And the optimism of that era, and I remember it well, was overwhelming. We believed that connecting every human being on Earth to each other, and I really believe this, and all of the world's information would be an unambiguous good. We believed that it would democratize knowledge, lift people out of poverty, and make us wiser and kinder and more curious about each other.
Pretty narrow-minded, Eric. Sorry to tell you.
In a sense, we thought that we were adding stones to a cathedral of knowledge that humanity had been constructing for centuries. But the world we built turned out to be more complicated than we had anticipated. The same tools that connect us also isolate us. The same platforms that gave everyone a voice, like you're using now, also degraded the public square. They rewarded outrage. They amplified our worst instincts. They coarsened the way we speak to each other. in that way, and in the way that we treat each other, in the essence of a society. In the years that after I graduated, no one sat down and resolved to build a technology that would polarize democracies and unsettle a generation of young people. That was not our plan, but it happened.
And they couldn't see it. They couldn't figure it out.
Tell you all of this because last December, Time magazine selected its person of the year for 2025. And this time it was the architects of artificial intelligence. Interesting. So today we stand on this edge of another technological transformation, one that will be larger, faster, and more consequential than what came before. It will touch every profession, every classroom, every hospital, every laboratory, every person, and every relationship you have.
Guys, I can't remember the last time any sort of technology was just shoved at us constantly. I mean,
it takes 90 seconds for this.
Hold on, let me get past this commercial. I'm going to give this guy another minute or two. This is disgusting. I understand why those young people are booing like that. Actually, it's more of a growl than a boo.
Guess all useless, and then they act technology was just shoved at us constantly. I mean, we are constantly being told it's inevitable and then forced to use it. They tell us it will take jobs and make us all useless, and then they act surprised when people express their hate for it. I mean, I feel like most of these tech billionaires have become tone deaf at this point. They're already rich. They don't have to live paycheck to paycheck. Their children are financially secure. So, I mean, they don't give a rat's ass about what happens to the job market. They don't give a damn how the working class earns their living. All they care about is how they can automate everything and fire their employees. They just want to make more money, and replacing humans with AI would save them billions of dollars.
I know what many of you are feeling about that. I can hear you. There is a fear. There is a fear.
This guy doesn't sound at all like he does on talk podcast formats. His voice is different. It's all wound up, it's way high, and it sounds decidedly gay.
Generation, yet that the future has already been written, that the machines are coming, that the jobs are evaporating, that the climate is breaking, that politics is fractured, and that you are inheriting a mess that you did not create. And I understand that fear. It's rational. And it's amplified every day by social media platforms with algorithms that have learned with great precision that fear earns clicks and that anxiety drives engagement. But I want to say something to you this evening as clearly as I can. To speak of the future as though it has already been decided is to surrender the one thing that actually matters. You are surrendering your agency. The future does not simply arrive. It gets built in laboratories, in dormitories, in startups.
All right, that's enough for me. This guy's really not pleasant to listen to. It's over, friends. That's what we're really talking about here. It is over. Life as we knew it will never come back. It's gone. The idea of getting a good job and earning your way up the ladder, it's over. It's not going to happen like that, except once in a blue moon there'll be an exception. But it's just not put together the way it used to be. It will never function the way it used to function. It is done. And how many of you are really ready for this? Really? Now, you listening understand pretty much what we're all facing here. But what about the rank and file who aren't listening right now, who don't know? They're going to be hit broadside. They'll never know what hit them. And they'll fail. How are they going to succeed? I don't see it. Sorry. I wish I could say otherwise. These people know what they're doing. And they pretend in the beginning that they had no idea. They were thinking about this wonderful nirvana that was coming, how things are going to be better and everybody will be living in a land of plenty. What idiocy. I don't buy it. They had to know. You sit down with anybody and you discuss this, and the good, the bad, and the ugly will come up in conversation. So I think he was disingenuous with that. All right, that's it for our update this time. Thank you for caring. We'll be right back.